But it's Thursday, November 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We're on show number 626. We're going to be talking about a lot of tech tonight. And I've got logged in here some information about Google and some emergency info that they're implementing on at Google.com. We're going to talk a little bit about LimeWire and their response to the rogue LimeWire client. We're going to talk about Charter and their bandwidth caps that they're about to enact. And would you stay at your job for $3.5 million if your boss begged you to stay when you're getting ready to change jobs? Well, apparently someone did. We'll talk about that here in a second. But as I said earlier, I got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes. Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of New Mexico via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I encourage you to go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. If you're new to the show, the most important thing is to get over there and get subscribed. Subscribing to the show guarantees that you will never miss a single episode of this great tech podcast. Of course, sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about. I email that out immediately following the show so that when you basically pick up the show, you'll have this the show notes in your inbox waiting for you. And it's a great reference tool. You can put that in a separate folder, and as you're running across stuff, say, oh yeah, I remember Todd talked about that, and you can go back and find the link real easy. Of course, all the archives are always available at geeknewscentral.com, so even if you aren't signed up for the newsletter, you can come over to the website and go through the information there as well. Well, I tell you, it's been a busy week here. Really, it's been a lot of this, moving the mouse and working on projects and papers, and it's been busy. It really, really has here. And I've got about another week to go. Gosh, I can't believe it. I'm looking at the clock already, and it's the 11th. Realistically, we've got about three shows left here in Albuquerque before I pack up and head back to Honolulu. But time is going quick and fast approaching a second weekend. Of course, I want to give a warm thank you to all of the veterans out there. If I know that today was Veterans Day. And so I hope that you, many of you probably were off work. Some of you had to work, but I hope you enjoyed your Veterans Day, and thank all of you for your service. Well, I tell you, of course, I want to welcome the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the family and staying subscribed. I definitely appreciate it. And, of course, we want to welcome the listeners from 178 countries worldwide for tuning in to the show. One thing right now I want to remind everyone is we're back in action. And while there was no video, per se, on the website, the video is now being distributed again back into the Roku and Boxy, and very shortly the Samsung IPTV. So, hey, if you have watched the show on the Roku, make sure you're grading our apps. Give us a 5-star if you feel we're worth it. That definitely helps us in the app ranking on the Roku and the Boxy so far. So thank all of you for rating the actual channels over there as well. So, of course, we're streaming right now on Ustream. I have no idea how the bandwidth is tonight, so if someone is up on the chat, maybe they can let me know. Bandwidth has been bad here at the hotel today, so I'm a little bit concerned. I've seen a bunch of people jump in and jump out, so maybe the image isn't so good over there. But anyway, we've got a great master recording going on. I've had some pretty fun today because, you know, I up to this point, I have not messed with green screen whatsoever. And I was, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to need great lights. I'm going to need to have a real good green screen background. And what I did is I actually have a mini green screen with me. It's about big enough to do an oval here around the, basically from where I'm sitting in this chair. And I played with it a little bit with the, just prior to the show. And I was astounded on how good it was. Now, the problem was I don't have a body to sit here in the chair while I tune things in over on the machine. So it was like, There's no way to get it dialed in, but I was having fun with it, and I'm sure we're gonna have some fun with green screen ops once I get back to Honolulu. Hey, of course, longtime sponsor here, GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, really think about going over and picking those products up at GoDaddy.com. I can save you a lot of money. I tell you, actually, right now, GoDaddy is running a huge number of specials. If you've done any business with them in the past, you're probably getting pre-holiday announcements. You may have gotten something from Veterans Day. So they're running you all kinds of discounts because I know that I had one listener of the show email me and say, Todd, I was renewing a SSL certificate and tried to use your code and it did not give me anything off the sale price. Matter of fact, the pricing went the other way. So that is the caution. So if you find something over at GoDaddy that's got a great discount, one thing that you'll want to pay attention to is you can't use a discount and a discount. In other words, if they're giving you 20% off on something, that's probably the better deal. But always try to use my codes if you can. Use promo code Todd to save 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20, that's a super hot one, 20% off a one-year shared hosting account. Again, Todd20 is a great one. Of course, ComSale for .com renewals, ComSale2 for cheap.coms. All my GoDaddy codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Go ahead and check them out over there and at Geek News Central. Definitely appreciate it. There's a code for everybody. And share them with your friends, family members, people that you know, because it definitely helps keep the light on here at Geek News Central. All right, well, I tell you, going through my list here, I guess I actually got a pretty short list tonight. I remind everyone that we are the site is live.geeknewscentral.com is up and available. What's your feedback on that? How do you guys like it? Have you been over there? Have you used it? Do you like the mechanisms when you press the chat button, the little chat box opens up below the video screen? Looking some for feedback on that, on how well you like the implementation. And definitely let me know what you think about live.geeknewscentral.com. Next week, I'm going to be making an announcement on a new site. It's a site that we're going to be launching in preparation for CES 2011. Spent a considerable amount of hours today working on that new site. I'm not ready to announce the location of that yet, but doing the testing, checking the templates. One thing I've been challenged with and is there's a lot of great templates, a lot of great WordPress templates for, I keep doing this. Let me close this little window. Yes, let's close that. One thing I keep doing is I go look for a WordPress template, and I find great ones for bloggers, but I don't find a lot of great templates for those of you that are out there that are creating media. So what I was really looking for was a real nice template where I would have a place to put the embed, and then I would have a place before where all the video would go in, some multi-staggered stuff, kind of like techpodcast.tv a little bit, but with a column, with the third column where I could put advertiser information and stuff about the show. The template I found is okay, but most of the sites are designed for folks that are recording stuff and then putting up later. They're not worried about individuals that are doing any live streaming. So if there's any WordPress developers out there that kind of got a clue here what I'm talking about, you think you can come up with a great design in a very quick time frame, email me here off, at the show at geeknews@gmail.com, and I may have some work for you to put together. But again, it's got to be quick. This will be a fast turnaround job. I know exactly what I want, so if you're looking to make some money, drop me a line here, and we'll see if we can get you hooked up. The Ohana meeting has been slid to next week. I got an email from Sam this morning saying he had to take his son to an event tomorrow, so Sam's going to meet with me next week, and we're going to move the rest of the folks that have basically sent an email saying they'd like to meet up too. We'll move to next week as well, so I wanted to make sure that I was able to accommodate Sam primarily and definitely meet with him. But again, we'll move the Ohana meetup in here in Albuquerque to next week. Of course, the podcast award nominations are ongoing, so don't forget to tell your favorite podcasters about the awards. Make sure that they are getting over and getting their shows nominated, and we've got about another 10 days there on those being open, so good luck to all the podcasters on the podcast award nominations. I think that's it. I think that's all the stuff I've gotten stacked up here for tonight as far as notes. I've had my head to the grindstone, or hand to the grindstone for a better word, just cranking on stuff and staying busy. It's, it just seems like I wake up, start work, 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 meet with clients, work, 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 meet with, come back to this to the hotel, work, 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 meet with clients and sleep. So from that standpoint, it's been pretty productive. I'm staying pretty productive this whole trip. Hey, let me go ahead and get into the content tonight. Take care of a little business. Just before that, though, picture this. You're on the phone with a client, you're trying to explain something, it'd either be a spreadsheet, an AutoCAD drawing, a PowerPoint, you name it. Which, that can be just frustrating, especially when they can't really see what you're seeing. And to describe that, there can be a lot of misinterpretation. They think you're saying one thing and, it's basically another. So really, there's good news out there, folks. Just use GoToMeeting. It's the best way to hold an online meeting. It's easy. One click can get you started and running. I had a meeting with Annie McCaskey and the gal that's actually doing our pre-roll stuff for an event that's upcoming, and working. She basically walked us through the storyboard. She was actually in Final Cut, showing that up on the screen. And while we couldn't really do real-time video, we're actually able to get the gist of what she was putting together and make suggestions, make changes. And it really, that instant feedback and be able to, have a conversation live about a project really ma is making a difference and really causing us to be more productive. So you can use GoToMeeting free for 45 days by being a listener of this show. And you guys know I've used for GoToMeeting for years. And all you got to do is visit GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast for your free 45-day trial. I want to thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at the show as well. Okay, let's go ahead and bounce into the tech content. Hey, NASA has tracked down the Space Shuttle Discovery gas leak. They've found it was a leaky seal or a faulty seal insulation. Basically a multi-million-dollar launch. Basically Canucks because someone didn't put the seal in right. It's pretty amazing, as many years that they've been doing that, but it was could have been a potentially very dangerous thing. So they're getting that fixed, and they'll be on track for the November 30th launch of Discovery to the International Space Station. Today, the folks at SpaceX, the one now this is pretty cool here if you think about this. SpaceX is on the march to basically launch the first commercial container to the International Space Station later in the year. And SpaceX raised $50 million in additional funding today. So their investors are very bullish on the market, so they've re-upped and invested more money with them. So we'll see what happens here with their upcoming test launch, where they're going to be using a Falcon 9 rocket to basically do a test load, and we'll see how that turns out. But SpaceX has received more than $360 million from NASA since it signed on to the agency's Commercial Orbital Transportation System, COTS, in 2006. So, of that, $248 million, I guess, has been directly towards that project. But again, another $50 million investment with SpaceX. If you use Google AdSense, which I've diddled with from time to time and not had very good luck, the site gets great traffic, but I make crap money on Google AdSense, and I don't know why. For a long time, for about two and a half years, when Geek News Central was first put up, man, I was pulling in good money, $250, $300 a month. Even, that was 5, 6 years ago, and now, I'm lucky if the site gives me maybe $30 a month, and it's horrible. And the traffic and the amount of money that the amount of traffic to the site doesn't, it just doesn't add up. But Google has launched a new feature on AdSense, and this new AdSense interface is now globally available to those of you that are using it. I really, I hear about these people, they make multi-million-dollar checks from Google with AdSense, and I don't get it. I really don't. Okay, hey, the official Google blog. Google has, for a while, you've been able to put in certain terms and be able to come up with information, but Google is working internationally now to, when you type in the word like suicide or poisoning. It'll bring up information, an emergency number. So today they have launched in 13 countries, displaying some combination of special search results for searches around poison control, suicide, and common emergency numbers that point to emergency information. And we know that this has been going on in the United States for a while already, but now this has moved into 13 countries. It looks like Mexico is one. They don't have the. Oh, here's the list: Australia, Belgium, France, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. I guess the Spanish in it was for Spain, but anyway. So that's basically if you are in one of those countries and you type in the a certain word, your language word for poison, it's going to give you the number to poison control and information within your own country. So pretty cool stuff, and good on Google for doing that. Over on Fiskars, FISKARS.com. I hate buying scissors. How many of you just seem to have bought like. You buy scissors and they're like pens. They just disappear, right? They go missing. And I don't know what it is. It's just like you buy these, buy two or three scissors, and the next thing you know, they're just gone. So I always have the meaning that if you buy something that's cost a little bit more, there's a more of a tendency to make sure it doesn't get lost and people keep an eye on it. But the folks at Fiskars have come up with a pretty cool new a scissor. And it's got an innovative design, and it's really got, well, it's basically, for a better word, like a 10-in-1 type of application where it's got, not, it just doesn't does scissoring, it does a whole bunch of other stuff too. So have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I like the way it reverses and does a lot of different cool things. So anyway, a tape cutter has a sharpener, has a. Bottle opener, has a twine cutter. Who cuts twine anymore? A wire cutter on it, comfortable. It's got great handles. $20, and maybe that might not be in the price range where you actually don't lose it. But I have a link up in the show notes. Come with rave reviews on multiple sites I saw today. Hey, over on X, the Xbox Kinect has been modded to work on Mac OS 10. So someone has hacked this up, and I'm sure when Microsoft put the Kinect video game controller together. They didn't have the Mac in mind, but some folks have put the software together necessary to interact with it. So now you can use Kinect, at least this guy has, with the Mac. Now, do you have 150,000 pounds laying around? Well, the first ever Apple computer that company founder Steve Jobs sold from his parents' garage is up for sale for £150,000. This is on the Daily Mail.co.uk, and apparently there were about 200 examples of the original Apple One that was launched in 1976, and apparently only a few of those survived today. But if you you can tell it was put together in a garage, yeah, for sure. $666 was the asking price in 1976. But if you're a true hardcore Mac fanatic, you can get this for, again, for the price tag stated, along with all the manuals as well. So anyway, a link will be up in the show notes for you if you have some spare change laying around. Hey, Chinese have there's an article over on Gizmodo, and this was talking about great engineering technology in China, where the Chinese built a 15-story hotel in just 6 days. And I ran the videos, 2 minutes and 12 seconds. It's an all-exterior shot. But the building frame goes up in about 24 hours, and then the following 5 days is putting the outside on and the windows in. But they really don't show if the inside was really finished. But, it's well known that Amish will put up a barn or a house in a couple of days, but the Chinese built a 15-story hotel in just 6 days. The question is it safe to stay in? Does it have environmentally friendly materials? How many laborers did they use? Did they use 2,000 laborers on this 15-story building? I don't know, but you can watch the video. I have the link up in the show notes. All right, what are you using as an RSS reader on your iPhone or even on your Android? The folks over at Gizmodo have done a head-to-head on the best RSS reader apps and have done a basically a you know full review on all these. And this was a great update for me because I haven't been following what's been going on in the RSS space on mobile phones for a while. But here's some pretty inexpensive ones between $3 and $5, and the reviews on that. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But really, I find myself now spending just a lot of time right in Google Reader via a web browser versus actually using an app when I'm on my iPad. Hey, as I talked about in the beginning of the show, Charter has followed Comcast with broadband usage caps. So here's what Comcast customers can expect. Subscribers to Lite and Express services will be capped at 100 gigs per month. So if you are a Lite or a Express service, you are going to be capped at 100. Those of you with the Plus and Max service will be capped at 250 gigs. Those with the Ultra 60 service will be capped at 500 gigs per month. And Charter says they're not going to charge overage fees for those who exceed the caps, but their account may be suspended. And this is interesting. And if you're a Charter customer, I'd really love to know, here's the question for, I guess, for those of you on Comcast. You guys have been living with bandwidth caps for a while, and I'm sure many of you are using Roku, you have an Xbox maybe, you're doing a Wii, you're doing some sort of interactive stuff, obviously you're downloading shows like this. What are you using in bandwidth a month right now on your connections? What is your average monthly bandwidth usage? Now, 500 gigs per month is quite a bit, I think. But I would be scared. As personally, I'd be scared of that 250 gig per month cap. So what they're going to do is their Charter's going to start notifying excessive users next month to make them aware of their usage patterns to identify possible causes, aka unsecured wireless routers or viruses, so forth. And they're going to review security options with those customers to reduce the risk of unauthorized internet use. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But again, Charter goes the way of Comcast. I'm sure at this point, then, Time Warner is right around the corner going to do the same thing. But it's, I don't know the actual date. Let me see if there's an actual date on when this is going to be implemented. It said 98% of Charter's 5.2 million customers will be unaffected by the decision. And they say demand for broadband is increasing every week, of course. It says streaming a movie on Netflix uses about a gig per hour. So that it equates to about 100 hours of Netflix streaming. Well, I tell you, when we went over the Christmas holidays last year and we're nonstop watching Netflix, man, we were like, 10 hours a day. We're just chilling and watching movies and different stuff, so we'd have busted out for sure. But anyway, they're going to have. I have this link in the show notes. You guys can check it out. But it's only a matter of time. Well, if you live in the Silicon Valley and you're in the tech world, boy, oh boy, what a time to live and have a, basically have a job skill that surrounds account management, AdWords associate, financial analyst, project manager, product marketing manager, project manager, research engineer, senior software engineer, site reliability engineer. These are all positions where there is a war going on now with Facebook trying to steal Google and Yahoo employees and from other companies as well. And it shows the base salaries on a lot of these jobs. And because of all this competition going on, for example, the average base salary at AOL is 88,000, Apple is 99, Cisco's 105, Facebook 110,000, whereas Google is $98,000. But Google has got on a bonus standpoint, the average bonus is about $21,000, whereas the Facebook bonus per year 11,900. So all told, it's about even with Facebook having a little bit of an average, a little better average. Now, Yahoo, they have an average base salary of 101,000 with bonuses of 6,100. What, boy, I tell you, those are some bonuses. And of course, there was a leaked document we're all 23,000, yeah, I mean, 23,000 Google employees are going to be getting a 10% pay raise. Matter of fact, the engineer that released that document was fired by Google. I don't know why they, you're going to release a document like that to 23,000 employees, and one person's going to send it out. Why would they fire him? But anyway, are any of you getting a 10% pay raise this year? That's huge. So definitely some money to be made out there with these companies, with these particular positions. Definitely AOL, Apple, Cisco, eBay, Facebook, Google, Hewlett Packard, Intel, Intuit, Oracle, and Yahoo are really good on the salary front for some of those positions I talked about earlier. Now, what tops the salary range? Senior software engineer makes about the most of any of the job titles, with an average base salary of around 125,000, with bonuses upwards of 51K. So, still pretty good to be a geek, but you got to live in live in California and deal with their absolutely amazing tax infrastructure. Of course, it's just as bad in Hawaii as well. But anyway, that's enough on that. I'll keep moving on here. Well, of course, there's been a big brouhaha, and we talked about it on the last show between Google and Facebook, where Google is basically saying you can't pull in data. Facebook found a way around that and is still pulling in Gmail contacts. Well, it appears that Scoble is a little bit upset at Michael Arrington because Michael Arrington basically has changed horses in the middle of the stream, where a few years ago he was saying it was a great idea for companies to basically have these walled gardens, and now Michael's saying, oh, it's terrible, terrible what these companies are doing with these walled gardens. So Scoble has a pretty good piece on that today that I'll link up in the show notes. But I think we've all been in this audience, and for my position for a long time has been, is you just it's very hard to trust any company that controls that amount of data and doesn't let it to be moved out, or and they keep sucking data in, but you can never get nothing out. And, I've said for a long time, be careful. And one thing that I have to agree with is that I went to my Google Gmail contact recently to try to get a telephone number for someone that I didn't have in my cell phone. And as Robert found out, same type of deal. The information wasn't updated there, but when I went into my Facebook account and found the individual's information, he had updated his telephone number there, but not in his Google contact. So it makes you kind of go, a little bit. And you can tell where people are spending time these days. Often I have accredited Dave Weiner on, a large part for being one of the godfathers of podcasting. And Dave is did a lot of work in the early days with RSS and making RSS into a standard. And many times people get confused and say that Dave was the inventor of RSS. And in an article Dave has written on his website, he said, "I didn't invent RSS. It isn't the kind of thing that gets invented, not in the sense of Eureka. I just invented RSS." But he said he did help it along in becoming a standard. And I had known this for a long time. And I tell you, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of new media people that, if you run into Dave or you see him someplace, just say thanks to him, because a lot of the stuff we've been able to accomplish over the last 6 years would not have been possible without the work he did. And of course, the contributions by Adam Curry as well. So nice little post by Dave there up in the show notes. Haven't linked up for you to check it out. And also, I've subscribed to a new feed of his. It's Hacker News. It's a Hacker News fire hose. It's an RSS feed that he has got set up. I've added this to my list over at Google Reader. This is one you're going to want to subscribe to. If you're a techie at all and you want to be able to get a fire hose of news and information on a daily basis, I probably shouldn't tell you about this because then you wouldn't need to listen to the show. But anyway, this. He posted this up on the 9th. Have a link up in the show notes for you for that as well, so you can pick it up. All right, now I talked about those salaries a few minutes ago, but apparently Google offered one of their staff engineers $3.5 million as a bonus to stay, not to move to Google. And this was $3.5 million in restricted stock. So you think about that. That's a jaw-dropping amount. 3.5 million. Your boss, you know, your boss knows you're being actively recruited by another company. He says, come in the office here and sit down. You know, we want you to stick around. We're going to give you a pay raise. Plus, we're going to give you $3.5 million in restricted stock. Oh, that is crazy. Now, that stock would vest over time, but Google is not going to lose hardly any value, if any value at all. You know, it's more than likely that the value of that stock is going to go up. But here's the challenge that Google is running into. Is if you go over to Facebook and you start working over there, and they give you 0.1% of 100 of the, that's what they give you in stock options. If Facebook has a public offering, and they do $100 billion in their valuation, that's $100 million. If you have 0.1%, that's 0.1% in stock in Facebook, Still, that's a lot of money, even if they don't hit $100 billion in valuation. Let's say they hit $50 billion. So that's huge, and that's why they're having such a trouble keeping employees locked to their desk at Google, because of this big potential payout when the IPO goes down. All right, are you Xbox user? Boy, I just have to share this with you. This just blew me away. Xbox is only used 60% of the time for gaming. The other 40% of it you're spending doing stuff like, doing Facebook or Twitter, using different applications. But here's the thing that, we had talked about a couple of shows ago, how many hours a month as a collective that was being put on, people were using on their Xbox. But they're saying the average Xbox user, now hold on to your hats here, the average Xbox user is being online 3 hours a day. They're actually using the box 3 hours a day. Where do people find any time? That blows me away. They say what we found is that core gamers might be the person who brought the console into the house, but as you widen the choice of content, it broadens what people can do with the system. That's amazing. With 25 million Xbox Live customers, half of which pay for the premium version of the service, it's just as a cash cow, and boy, I tell you, it's just amazing. 3 hours a day—that's an amazing statistic. It really, really is. I'm sure they average that over time when you're doing your what is that? Black Ops? Is that what was the name of that game that launched? Call of Duty Black Ops, which brought in $360 million on the first day. I'm sure it's when you have these big binges and you go for 18 hours playing a new game. That where you rack up those averages, but still, it's pretty astounding to me overall. All right, see, an iPad developer basically sent an email to Steve Jobs complaining about the process, and Steve called him, and I think that's pretty cool getting a call from Steve. And Steve talked to him for a little bit on the phone, figured out what the issue was with his app, talked about the process. They were able to fix the app and get it approved, and now it's the number one finance app out there. It's $3.99, I think is what it's selling for. But this is pretty cool, that they actually he reached out and was making a call to this guy. But it's not very often the CEO of a company will read personal email coming in and respond. Have you heard about a new trend that teenagers are doing on Facebook? Of course, I told you guys about my little incident with my daughter and Facebook, and how she had the fear of God put in her about basically blocking dad from seeing what she was doing on Facebook ever again, at least until she's 18. But teens are using some new innovative ways to control their Facebook presence. What they're doing is they're deactivating their account every time they log off. They don't want people putting comments on their pages. They obviously friend a lot of people, and they're worried, I guess, apparently about someone that they have friended that maybe they aren't super friends with, making a comment on their Facebook page that they may not see for 4 or 5 hours and prove to be embarrassing. So what they're doing is every time that they log out, they go into the deactivation portion and choose the other choice, and then basically they can reactivate it the next time they log in. So I think this is a pretty amazing thing that teenagers are doing. They're trying to basically they're trying to do preemptive damage control on comments that people are making on their sites. But I guess it's a pretty wide utilized it's what people are what teenagers are doing a lot. So ask your teenagers at home if they're deactivating their Facebook accounts. I'd love to hear feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address where you can email me anytime, or the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Again, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, Firefox version 4 beta 7 is really getting some rave reviews, and I think at this point I'm going to go ahead and jump into the fire here and pick up beta 7. Just performance, they're saying, is improved dramatically. It's speedy. And they were impressed by its outstanding performance and greatly improved responsiveness. Says it delivers highly competitive performance and puts Firefox back on an even footing with its rivals. So I think I'm gonna after the show tonight, I'm gonna load the beta and give it a run for the money myself. All right, those of you in the UK, boy, one thing in Hawaii, we had a time when speed cameras were being employed, and basically. It was just nothing but a money grab for the state, and the people of Hawaii complained so loud and so viciously that the government finally canceled the speed camera contracts. Basically, there was these vans that sit along the side of the road, and as you drove by, if you were excessive speed, they took your picture and you got a ticket. But in the UK, what's going on there? The Daily Mail is reporting on a new kind of speed camera that doesn't just check if you're speeding. It also looks if you're tailgating. It checks your insurance and car taxes via license plate recognition camera. And also makes sure you're wearing a seatbelt, all in one tidy little package. Now, what this is resulting in is they're processing multiple tickets. Now, I guess you're going to have to go and get into your driver's handbooks and determine what the rule is on how close you can be back to the back of another car. But it's awful easy to tailgate. And but this is what they're going to start doing now. No seatbelt, you're tailgating and speeding, you get three tickets in one. So congratulations for having these new camera systems going into place throughout the UK. I'm sure that makes you really happy. I wonder at what point they're going to have these cameras when you jaywalk, they take a facial recognition of your face and send you a ticket for jaywalking. I'm sure that's forthcoming over there as well. Probably here in the United States too. Hey, we talked about LimeWire just for a second at the beginning of the show. LimeWire is complaining about unauthorized versions of LimeWire. Okay, they're demanding. They're demanding those who put out such an unauthorized version cease and desist. That's kind of seem kind of funny, doesn't it? That they would request that this rogue version of LimeWire be taken down. The question is, how did LimeWire software code get into someone else's hands in the first place? Don't companies control source code pretty closely? I'm sure it's just the company making sure that they're not going to get blamed by the government for this unauthorized copy. But I'm sure it just makes the RIAA and those other folks grind their teeth. Hey, over on Wired.com. Oh boy, you're going to love this one. And wait till the conspiracy theorists hear about this. What they're going to do is they feel that scattering dust, a specific type of dust, if they scatter mineral dust, and what is the actual type of mineral dust is it? It says the article basically is entitled, "Powdering the Equator with Mineral Dust Could Fight Climate Change." The essence of process is familiar. When water, CO2, and a silica-containing rock mix is bound together, the resulting chemical reaction produces minerals that contain carbon, known as carbonates, and these are found in groundwater, responsible in part for making it hard and clogging pipes with residue. But when they sprinkle this, they feel that they are able to absorb more carbon and thus be able to reduce global warming. So they feel if they fly in airplanes and they spray this dust all over the place, they'll help with They'll help with climate change and be able to reduce. This is what's big, is they'll be able to reduce the parts per million between 100 and 150 parts per million by the century's end. So while this won't completely fix what they think is going to be an unmanageable carbon buildup, the say it will be one of the tools that they'll be able to use here in the future. But here's how much of this stuff are they going to have to make and spray, and it just doesn't sound like a logistically practical thing to be able to do. But spray it over riverbeds, spray this over, they want to like over the rainforest or anywhere where it's moist, and use this as an option to capture carbon. Wow. All right. If you're an Android user, Bing for Android isn't limited to Verizon anymore. The Bing Android application is now available to all Android devices for owners in the United States, and the app itself hasn't changed. It's just now that you can find it in Android Market. So if you're looking for that, you can pick it up. Dig now has a staff, and they've publicly announced that they have staff picking breaking news. And having it, they've got a breaking news breaking news section on Dig. What do you guys think about this? Is this just like a little bit too late on them trying to recover their, recover from their downward spiral? Here's the thing, they got greedy. They had a great offer to sell the company a couple of years ago. They should have took the money and run, but no. They, got a little bit too big for their britches, and now they're in trouble. And they're really trying to reinvent the site. They've had a major impact made upon them by all the other Facebook and all the other sites out there. So, but anyway, Dig has announced that they have a breaking news module to its service, and it's the module can be seen on the right side of the top news. And it's going to be next to the upcoming area. So I don't know. You guys still using Dig? I haven't been over there in a long, long, long time. Hey, here's the app of the day that I really kind of got blew away by. It's called the Blue Fire Reader. Okay, it's for both the iPhone and the iPad. And what's cool about this is, and I have to check with my local library to make sure it works, but this is a new ebook reader that allows you to basically check books out from hundreds of public libraries and websites, and it transfers them to your device using iTunes, and then you can read them in the Blue Fire Reader. You guys know that previously we weren't able to get library checked out books on the iPad. And this is big because this is a they've got DRM built into this. So now if you've got an iPad or an iPhone, instead of needing a separate Sony reader or one of the other e-readers that are out there that were really well known for being able to check books out from your library, you're going to be able to go and use this Blue Fire Reader. And again, I don't know the price on it. I'm going to buy it immediately here. But great way to be able to check books out from your local library. And it uses the DRM used by most public libraries out there today. So this is great news. From a standpoint of being able to check stuff out, this is going to have to negatively affect Amazon, I would think. Okay, there's a good article over on ehomeupgrade.com, and it talks about Google TV and how the hackers out there have been trying to spoof its user agent to access sites like Hulu. Now, they're working hard to get into shell so that they can basically trick the sites like Hulu into thinking it's a different type of browser. But what's happening now is Hulu is really clamped down the restrictions, and even people with regular computers going to Hulu.com, and if you're a premium service member, going over there with Firefox or going over Safari, a lot of people are finding they're getting blocked just by using their regular browser over at Hulu. Now, I'd love to hear from any of you that have run into that. This is a sporadic issue that's happening. I guess the reports are a lot of people are having the issue, but not everyone. But the hackers are working real hard to get this user agent changed so that the they can access it via Google TV. So I'm sure at the same time, Hulu's trying to say, "Oh man, we got to tighten the restrictions down even more." It's really gotten pretty silly. It really has. What they allow to have access to those video streams. If you're going to be able to let people to do it on their computer, why not their TV? I don't get it. What's the, you know, what's the difference really? And I don't get the logic of these companies. I really, really don't. Hey, let's talk just a second here about My Movies for iPad. And if you have an iPad and you are using Windows Media Center, well, you're going to want to get the My Movies app. It's available for $6.99 on iTunes. The new app allows users to view their entire movie catalog. You can add titles by name manually, and even play movies on their PC via the app. And once the iPad gets a camera, users will be able to scan DVD and Blu-ray movie jacket barcodes, add titles as well. But anyway, this is available. So My Movies for iPad is the fastest and easiest and most impressive way to keep track of your movie collection. So I don't know if you can actually view the movies on your iPad, but you can control what's in your library on your Windows Media Center. This statement here is one that I could not agree more with. The Boxy founder has said, "People don't want web browsing on their TV." And I'm going to see if I can get someone to disagree with me here. But really, as I played with the Google TV, and I've done it twice now because I've been able to get into Best Buy and I've just, you know, monkeyed around with it for 20 or 30 minutes, is one thing is I don't want to surf the net on my TV, but what I want to do is get to content. So I'm looking at apps that have content, have movies, have videos, have games, has different types of things. So that's what I want to do with Google TV. And that's what I do with my Roku. I go looking for content. On Boxy, same thing. I go looking for different type of content that I can consume and watch. Personally, and maybe it's just because I have a bias because we build apps for those devices, but I really think that when you are sitting in front of your TV with your remote control in your hand and you want to watch or do something, it's not like you want to surf the internet because generally you're going to have your laptop already with you or on a table close by. I really think these set-top boxes are primarily for consuming content or music or, you know, YouTube or whatever it may be. I just don't feel that the You know, these devices are meant for, you know, you maybe once in a while where you want to show something to the family or you want to share something, but you're not going to have your 60-inch TV be tied up surfing the net with the kids there and with the wife bugging you. And no, it's not going to happen. It isn't. You're going to consume content on it. That's what your big TV's for. If you think I'm wrong, please tell me why. Why do you want to surf the internet with your TV? Now, I understand the interactive part. I understand being able to come up on a maybe a chat or something or on Facebook and be able to do something down in the margins of the television while a movie's going on or, you know, Academy Awards or something like that where you can comment on stuff with your friends. But I really don't think it's just going to be used for active searching the net. And this is what the Boxy founder says, and I'm of the same opinion, but love to hear you guys' feedback as well. Well, if you're in China, and I know my good friend Andy, who's a doctor, is in Shanghai right now. And Andy, I don't know if you've got a Chinese cell phone or not, but I hope you didn't get hit with the zombie virus. Over 1 million Chinese cell phones have been infected with the zombie virus. And here's a funny thing. The Chinese government, within one day, found the company that was doing this and basically, you know, locked them up, for better words. Now, I don't know if they got arrested, but anyway, the company, the government was able to track this company down, and they're denying that they're the ones that spread this thing. But you know, kind of interesting. They can get stuff shut down within a day for something infecting within their country, but yet when these hackers and people are sending in viruses from China are affecting stuff in the United States, do they act that quick? Of course not. All right, the Sony Bloggy Touch is now available in the UK. Andrew, one of our writers at Geek News Central, has posted a review about the Bloggy Touch. Of course, I played with the Bloggy Touch at CES 2010, and I just find it, I just blew away that you guys just got it. And that it's just become available. but he's requested a review unit, and hopefully he'll get his hands one here soon. But you can check the specs out on the website if you're in the UK. You can get a this new Sony Bloggy. It's a nice little camera. It really is. It shoots HD. Over on killerstartups.com, I go through their website. This is one of the websites that was submitted by listeners of this show. And you know, you expect to find really remarkable startups in this killerstartups.com website. Well, today I had to laugh because there's a new startup, and the website is called paperfeeds.com. And what they do is they, if you want RSS feeds, if you have RSS feeds that you want to review, they will print and deliver them for you. Yes, print them on paper. They will send you a hard copy of your favorite feeds from all over the internet. Okay. Why would I want to do that when I can go into almost any site that has an RSS feed and I can star an article and basically put it in my cache and store it for life? I don't need a hard copy magazine or a book of my favorite feeds. You know, here today, gone tomorrow. That's what feeds are. You know, the most of the data is expendable. There's not very few feeds that have data in them from years ago that I, who goes back and looks at data from 2 years ago? The world is moving. I'm sorry. All right, enough on that. Hey, anyway, killer startups, I think you missed the boat on that one. I really did. All right, if you're a Mac user, there's some gouge out there on how to enable iOS AirPrint support in OS 10 right now. There's a way to do it. They got the hack out there, so if you want to use AirPrint in OS 10, there's availability to do that. That was over on lifehacker.com. I have a link up in the show notes. Another article over on lifehacker.com is a app for the Mac. I thought the Mac always had great security and protected all your stuff, but for some reason, someone has come up with a what's called the Black Hole Cleaner. It clears out sensitive information on your Mac with ease. So you mean cleaning out stuff on the Mac is not easy? It's hard. But this little cleaner has a button here: quit applications, clear recent items, empty the trash, unmount volumes, clear the clipboard, delete files and folders. That's hard to do on the Mac. Oh, this Black Hole makes it easy. Just one click and you can clean stuff, sensitive stuff off your Mac. So if the police are there pounding on the door to come in to seize your computer, you can run this app and get all the stuff cleaned off in a heartbeat. Hey, we're on makeuseof.com. Great article on how to make a WordPress.com blog look self-hosted and professional. You guys know you can put up a free blog at WordPress.com, but it has certain limitations. This is a great article for any of you that have your blog on WordPress.com. This is a great way to trick out your blog so it doesn't look like it's self-hosted. Definite read for those of you that are over there. Hey, over on MakingWindowsEasy.com, they've got a great list. It's a daily to-do. It's a web app to make to-do list. And I really am a big, huge to-do writer. I have a basically a usually on paper, but I put mostly on my iPad now. But I love to-do list, and this is a pretty cool little app out there. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. Over on newtv.com, actually in the new TV section on gigaohm.com, they had their new TV had their Live 2010 event, which I really wish I could have slipped away to go to and been able to been there. But there, I was reading through a lot of the commentary from the one day event. But check this out. Hulu has grown really big and really fast. Here's some real numbers. Basically, the company will pull in more than $240 million in revenue in 2010, up from $108 million last year. They said that Hulu had 300 million users in October of 2010 and watched 260 million content streams and 800 million ad units were delivered during the month. So that's some pretty impressive numbers. Over at YouTube, over 35 hours of video is being submitted every minute, which is about 50% higher than its previously announced 24 hours a minute. Says the online video service is also now available on hundreds of millions of connected devices. Of course, we know that. Adobe said they're working on it, is working to cure its flash power management problems. Adobe CTO Lynch said that the company's work to improve reported battery drain issues around Flash when rich media plays on a page. And that's part of the company's revamp strategy is to also to work a little bit closer with HTML5. And, of course, some folks talked about the over-the-top TV stuff. AdaptivePath President Peter Merholtz threw out some cold water on consumer electronic manufacturers who said who are trying to add new features to users' TV screens and input devices. He said through research conducted by interviewing normal people, AdaptivePath found that most effective user experience designs include minimum input for maximum output. So in other words, they only want to click. They don't want to use a keyboard. They're also talking about TV now being a two-way conversation, talking about cord cutting is happening, but at the same time, people are trying to soften the blow on the cable providers because they're getting really worried. But anyway, good article over on their website. They had another one as well that talked about live streaming. And here's something that really blew me away. John Hamm, the CEO and co-founder of Ustream, has seen 549% year-over-year growth in terms of viewing time. He says you have people watching enabled by connected screens and brought. What is on their side? They said you have. That didn't make any sense. What they said in this article here. But here's the thing I found really interesting in this article that really gets me excited. Josh Siegels, YouTube's product lead for live streaming, he said YouTube would like to take live video content creation and streaming to the masses, but he said the company wants to start with content partners and events before scaling up to address the full user segment. He said the infrastructure takes time to build, and YouTube wants to grow. It's great for broadcasters and users while respecting the rights of copyright owners. And he says for the number of users on Google, this becomes a technological challenge. But he thinks that they're going to be investing in this in 2011. So that could mean some product rollout in 2011. And if they do that, this whole streaming thing is just going to go absolutely off the chart. And here's the beauty about that. If you're streaming, you can record your content. And when recording your content, guess what you can do with that content? You can get it onto over-the-top boxes and get it distributed that way as well. That's the beauty about video, folks, because you're doing it. It's the gateway to all these devices. That's why I keep telling podcasters, doesn't matter if no one's watching you. Put that content up there. Get it up in those OTT boxes so people can consume it when they're kicked back and they're lazy boy. It's an exciting time. All right, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6 has been released. So if those of you that are out there, they're system admins, you probably already knew that. Some statistics have come out about streaming music. It says that streaming music is now neck and neck with downloads in the United States. NPD Group did a survey. It said that downloaded music accounts for 30% of listening on Macs and PCs in August compared to 29% in March. Over the same period, streams increased from 25% to 29% of computer listening behavior. It says, judging from those statistics, streams could leap ahead of downloads next time they take these measurements. And they don't have a time frame when they're going to do that. But streams are definitely in. And a good article around the WindowsStreamBlog.com. And actually, I'm going to be doing some reviews for Microsoft and some of their product base here starting in probably another week. So I'll be starting to talk a little bit more about some of Microsoft cloud products. But Windows has got a article on the Springboard series. It's breaking it down on how to start deploying Microsoft desktop Microsoft desktop virtualization technologies. And this is a pretty good article here. And a lot of videos from the folks at Microsoft. So if you are an IT manager and you want to know about the desktop virtualization, you'll definitely want to check that out. And this, again, the things I'm doing for Microsoft is not paid. It's just some reviews I'm doing. So no monetary compensation. Okay, folks? I've already talked about the Call of Duty doing $360 million in sales. And that's it for the regular content for tonight. But we've got a lot of... Actually, I got one voicemail, and some emails to go into. So for those of you that are up on the stream, how's the stream been tonight? The stream been pretty good? Just wondering how the bandwidth is holding up. Hey, if you've got comments or suggestions on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I added that number to the Do Not Call list a couple of months ago, but I'm still getting all kinds of interesting advertisements. As a matter of fact, I think one of you in the audience tried to play a little bit of a trick. I'm not going to play the video because I could tell it wasn't from one of those machines. Hey, you need to check out such and such dot com, such and such dot com. You go come over to such and such dot com. If you want me to talk about your site, all you got to do is email me. Tell me what your site's about, and I'll be happy to promote your site right on the show. You don't have to call into the voicemail hotline and try to sneak one in under the radar, okay? Just, send me an email. I'll be happy if it's not something that's, something that's acceptable to the audience and tech related, be happy to do it. Okay, again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Okay, here is the first voicemail, or actually the only voicemail of the night.
Hey Todd, this is Seth from Michigan, giving you a call. I'm trying to answer the question from your listener who called asking about the Western Digital TV and playing the video segment of your show on his WDTV. Actually, he said he had the Western Digital TV live, I believe. He might be able to, I'm not positive, but I believe the Western Digital TV live could play YouTube. And if I remember correctly, you'll have to correct me on this. I believe you still post your video on YouTube. Maybe he can click play, pause it, let it build up a cache, and then resume it. Not sure if that would work. Otherwise, an alternative that I know would work, I'm not sure if it's a solution he'd like to use or not, is he could download his file and save that on a regular desktop or laptop device, save it to a flash drive, and then take it over, plug it into, I believe there's two USB ports, so plug it into one of the two USB ports on his Western Digital TV Live, and play back the file through USB. Now, I'm not sure if he may possibly run into issues with whether the flash drive is formatted in NTFS format or FAT32 format. Not sure on that. Most flash drives will default to FAT32, which is more or less the generic, it supports just about every device format. But if it's formatted in NTFS format, he may need to change that format to FAT32. I'm not sure if this is the solution he's looking for, but it is a possible solution to be able to watch you on the big screen. And keep up the good show. All right, bye.
Thanks for the suggestions on that. I appreciate it. One thing about putting the videos up on YouTube, I do, but the challenge I've had since I've been here is I get about 300 or 400 megs on an upload, and my service that I have here in the hotel drops the connection. I don't know if it's the service provider that's cutting me or not, but I've had a real tough time getting videos up to YouTube from this location. I got a different strategy I'm going to try tonight. Using my EVDO card, so we'll see if that works out. That's an awful long load upload to do it that way, but I haven't been using it too much here on this trip, so I got the bandwidth to spare. But yeah, that's a definitely a good suggestion, is potentially going up on YouTube to watch it through the WDT system. I'm not real familiar with that box because I don't have one. But thanks for your points. Hey, I see that in the chat room, Pete from Albuquerque says, "Are you still having the meetup tomorrow?" Pete, we're going to move it to next week, my friend. So just send me an email, please, at geeknews@gmail.com. That way I'll have you in the list. But we're going to move it to next week. Sam couldn't make it tomorrow, so we'll do it some weekday next week. I would probably think potentially Tuesday of next week is what day we'll do that, okay? Let me go ahead and get into the email here real quick. I got an email from Jeffrey Ramsey. He's one of the longtime listeners of the show. Those of you who know Jeffrey, he is basically was a number of years ago was had a robbery happen to his business, and he had suffered a debilitating or significant injury with a shotgun. Basically, he was shot. And Jeffrey says in his subject to me, he says, "To your complainers, too much unnecessary complaining." So, and Jeffrey, thanks for continuing listening. And I know that you're working to with doctors and stuff to try to get back up to some additional mobility. Good luck with that, and we're always thinking about you here. Got an email, and oh, another email from Jeffrey. Hey, sorry to hear about your doggy loss, and I hope that you find another pet to replace the one that you had. Got an email here from Gary. He says, "Hey Todd, I finished listening to, I think, episode 624, and I wanted to send you a supporting comment or two. I've been listening to your show since the single digits, either 5 or 6, and I've always come to expect and actually look forward to your personal comments in the beginning of each show. It seems to add a personal side, you know, a feeling of Ohana to the whole experience. Also, I do listen to how you're setting up your equipment and hope you bring the show to us, even though I listen to you on the audio portion. So to wrap up, you've been bringing us great content in many different ways for the last 6 years. Keep going the way you are. You rock." Gary out of Northern New Jersey. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the comment on that. And you know, the show's just going to continue. You know, it's as long as it's fun. That's the main thing, right? Hey, got an email here from Jim. He says, "Hey Todd, great show. Love listening to you. Go ahead and talk about podcasts or whatever you want to talk about. Your choice. You talk and I'll listen. Anyway, I do have a suggestion. When you use an acronym or talk about some organization or space project, most geeks will get it. However, sometimes when I'm listening while driving, for instance, and you throw out an acronym like the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, they're the folks that are helping us, blah, blah, blah. In other words, put in a short explanation of what it is. I do know very well who the EFF is, but sometimes you stump me and I miss important parts of the show until I can roll it back and research what it was said that you were talking about. Often I never go back for lack of time, etc. I think you could broaden your audience this way. People who are, shall I say, geeks in training will learn more and enjoy the show more. Just a suggestion. I hope it helps." That's a good one, Jim. And, you know, being an ex-military guy, man, it's all about the acronyms. And so I apologize on that. Here's another possible idea. Put the stuff that is at the beginning of the show regarding calendar events, etc. at the end. I do often skip over it. If the beginning of a podcast is a short advertisement, I usually listen through the ad. But when there's 10 minutes of stuff that I'm not really interested in, I generally skip all of it, including the ad. I go straight to the media show. Just an idea. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Jim." Thanks for your feedback, Jim. I appreciate it. Got an email from Bruce. He says, "Hey, Todd, I agree concerning ads. In fact, was turned off from all ads in the early days of the internet due to the various security threats. It's strange now that I seem to be ad blind these days and don't seem to notice them, only the floaters which block your view. Then I make sure to ignore content before closing. Probably have not clicked on an ad in 10 years. Bottom line, force ads on me and it will drive me elsewhere. Keep up the good work, however long your show or choice of content. There's always time to speed setting for audio listeners. Bruce in the UK." Got an email here from Sam. He says, "Hey Todd, more TSA news over the back scatter, over the TSA naked strip searches." And I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Got an email from Frank on the back scatter scanners as well. Well, I tell you, people are not happy. They are absolutely not happy about these new scanning machines. An excerpt from this article out of Philly.com. Clearly, the head of the U.S. Airways Pilot Union said one of the U.S. Airway pilots who went through a pat-down had his genitals grabbed repeatedly and was highly traumatized. When I was talking to him on the phone a few days later, he told me that he had just thrown up in his driveway. He was so worried about going to work this particular day, has two hip replacements, so he cannot go through the back scatter machine. End of the excerpt. That's interesting. You know, I got steel in my back. I wonder if I'm not supposed to go through that thing. Well, obviously I'm not, because I've already told you guys, I'll take the pat down. I did not get my genitals grabbed. Basically, when they came in, when they did my pat down, they came in flat-palmed till they basically could go no further, I guess, for better words, and then backed out. So I didn't get groped. But I'm sure it all depends on the individual doing the pat down per se. So interesting. Thanks for that, Frank. I definitely appreciate it. Okay. Anyway, folks, feel free to send your comments in the show. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. If I can figure a way to rig the green screen that I have here so that it will actually stay up the entire show, I may try to do a green screen segment on the next show just for fun. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not because of the camera distance. I really need a big one back here. And I could put myself in a virtual studio with the new TriCaster. But this machine is amazing. Still learning a few tricks to it, though, and especially in the encoding part, because that's a little different from what I was doing last time. But it's good to work that out here before we get back to Honolulu and start doing the show there. But for all of you that have been hanging out with the show, thanks for staying with me, and thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, tell your friends and your neighbors, people about the show. And thanks for all your ongoing support. Those of you on Ustream, thanks so very much. I definitely appreciate it. And I'll be around after we go off the air here to talk with you guys for a little bit. But until next time, everyone, take care. And aloha.